Welcome to another episode of Meet Me at the Library, the podcast that talks about programs and resources at Charlotte Mecklenburg Library, many of which you can access from home. For this episode, we're focusing on programs and resources related to science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, also known as STEAM. We're going to talk about the A in STEAM, the arts. With us today, we have Emily Nanny. She's the education leader for Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. We have Sam Shapiro, Holly Summers, and Angel Truesdale. Sam is a manager here at Main Library. Angel is a library services specialist here at Main Library. And Holly is the teen services coordinator for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library System. And Holly, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So I've been with the library for just over 10 years. I've spent all that time in teen services, so that's where my heart is. So that means supporting teens and being successful and also in helping them become their best selves. So that looks different for everyone. Obviously, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. So we try to offer a wide variety of dynamic and innovative programs, resources, and services here at the library, which definitely keeps my life interesting. And I am originally from Buffalo, New York, so okay. This is definitely, it was a change for me when I came down here, but it's been a wonderful change, so
cool.
Good to be here.
Fellow New Yorker?
Yes.
Emily, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So as education leader, I work with programming and partnerships throughout the library system and in the community. I work directly with the children's leader, the teen leader, and the adult services leader, as well as third grade reading initiatives and opportunity strategy.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Sam, will you tell us about yourself?
I've been working here for a few years, and I have been doing film programs and film series as part of my responsibilities here. I've always enjoyed that. I teach film on a part-time basis at UNC Charlotte.
Okay. Cool. Angel, will you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay, so I am born and raised in Charlotte. We are few and far between now, it seems like. And I started working for the library system about 8 years ago. I am a film enthusiast, international law. I'm big into technology as well.
Okay, thank you so much. So what about programs related to art, literature, writing, music, etc. for adults?
Okay, so I guess I'll kick it off. I'm really excited about Hickory Grove. They have a music club there. They bring out some musical instruments, and they have the public come in and play them, and that's a really popular one.
Yeah.
And even staff really love that program. But they also have something with the Arts and Science Council Culture Blocks. They partner with Clayworks, and so they bring in someone to teach people how to texturize and manipulate clay into different shapes and, you know, flower vases and stuff, and they actually will make the clay item there, and then they're sent off to the kiln, I think it's called, and then they get it back, and it's all glossy and nice, and people are,
sure,
you know, learning how to do some hands-on work with the clay there. So.
Okay.
I have a series here at Main Library called 1215 at Main. It occurs usually about two or three Wednesdays per month.
Mm-hmm.
The idea behind this program series is to try to draw people from who work in the area, who both work and live in the,
yeah,
area, to come to the library for a program at lunchtime. They're encouraged to bring their own lunch, eat it, enjoy it while there's the program. Subjects range from cankerworms to, I brought my flyer from May, What is Mech Deck Day, where we brought in a historian in costume to talk about that. Later this month, I'm having one of our librarians here is going to talk about some of the more notorious scandals in Charlotte's history.
Yeah.
And I think on Halloween, which is a Wednesday this year, luckily, there will be a staff member, Andrea Callan, who will talk about her experience in the catacombs of Paris, where there are millions and millions of bones and skeletons. She went there as a tourist. She doesn't live there.
Right.
And she's going to talk about the history of that, we thought it would be a good fit for Halloween. So yeah. This is a series that folks can find on the website, and it began about a year ago, and it's taken off. We usually have about 20, 25 people who come to those.
Cool. Great. Sounds interesting. And you get to eat lunch.
That's right. I provide refreshments for those that don't bring their lunch.
And we actually have writing groups across the system here, too, and there's a team that actually organizes that for adults. So here at Maine Library, we have Write Like You Mean It. That is actually weekly, and that can range from having a writing prompt to watching a video, having a Skype session with an author. So the organizer for that group, she really tries to switch it up every week so that people are just inspired to write. I mean, in any way that they see, you know, it may just not be, you know, I'm sitting down and writing in a journal. It could be graphic writing. So I'm drawing my day. I'm thinking about how I can put down on paper, you know, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. There's also a fiction writing group here at Maine Library that meets monthly. I love the name of the writing group at Mint Hill. It's called the Prolific Pens writing group. So they meet pretty regularly. So there's one at South County. There's definitely one at Plaza Midwood, which one of the librarians here at Maine Library, she goes to Plaza Midwood and does a writing group there. And all of these groups are pretty supportive. It's a collaborative environment. The organizers plus the people who are part of the groups are really just trying to inspire people to write. But then they also are encouraged to share their work and receive, you know, constructive feedback. And the last thing I want to talk about, which is something that people may not think of when they're thinking about becoming a writer or thinking about, you know, just, you know, writing in a journal, is we have a pretty robust nonprofit services team here in the library, and we like to teach classes and offer resources on how to build and maintain a nonprofit. And so one of the classes that they teach in relation to that is the introduction of proposal writing. So right now, it looks, I believe Matthews has done it before, University City Regional Library and Bayesford Road Regional Library will be having some classes on that. So if you've ever wanted to learn just a little bit about grant writing or how to construct your proposal, even if it's not something you want to do in the future but you're interested, definitely come check out this class and check out the free resources that you can use in the library or at home when it comes to nonprofits.
Okay, cool. Holly, how about teenagers? What do we have going on in the arts for the teen age group?
Yeah, so we have a lot of really great opportunities for teens to get involved in the arts. I'll try to give a quick snapshot. We have our traditional library art clubs, so that allows teens to maybe dabble in different techniques or different mediums that they haven't used before. And sometimes they get to learn about maybe a different style or an artist. But we also have other opportunities that are more targeted. So we have our writing club, which is a great program. It allows teens to come in, kind of share their work, also get constructive criticism from their peers, and also be able to give that to their peers. And usually there's a writing exercise, and again, they'll learn about different literary devices or techniques that they can use to improve themselves as writers. We also have creative journaling, so that also involves kind of the visual arts aspect in addition to the writing part of it. We have some music clubs. We also have, like, Imagine On is having a music programming program coming up, and it's a mini camp. Well, they're going to learn about the equipment in the Studio I, and they'll also be able to record tracks in the sound booth, mix tracks, and produce beats, and that will be led by a professional in the industry. We also have other programs like Books Come to Life, where teens get to come in and really experience a book. So maybe they dress up, maybe they have something to eat that's part of the book, maybe they participate in an art activity. So those are some really great opportunities for teens to get involved in the arts. Like last year for Community Read, we had The Sun Is Also a Star by Nicola Yoon. And that cover was created by String Art, so that was a way for us to kind of incorporate reading and arts. And then we have our community service projects, which allow teens to get community service hours at the library while also participating in their community and really giving back. And so one example of that is Project Linus, and teens get to make No-Sew blankets. And so a lot of times those community service projects will involve art as well. We have STEAM 101. So what we're really seeing a shift in now is incorporating art and really seeing the intersections with science, technology,
yes.
engineering,
mm-hmm.
math, and all that, because it's not just existing by itself. So we have Spheros, which this, I don't know if anyone's heard of Spheros before, but they are robots.
Love them.
See? Angel loves them. So that right there is a reason for you to go out and come to one of these programs. But it really offers students the opportunity to kind of learn about coding, to be able to use this robot that's also a ball, that's hence its name Sphero. But one way that they've done that is controlling the ball and having it roll in paint and then creating a piece of art, or you know, going through a maze. So there's a lot of different ways that we are really connecting STEAM with arts.
The trend recently, we used to call it STEM, which was just science, technology, engineering, and math. And now we've changed it to STEAM, throwing the arts in there. And there's so many ways now that technology affects the arts, like in the satellite studio program that teens actually run. They create music and videos and photography related items for patrons using the technology that we have at the library. You mentioned Studio I, the makerspace.
Yeah.
You know, they got the 3D printer. So if you design something, you can print it out. They have a woodcutter. They have all kinds of stuff where you're actually using technology to create really artwork.
We do some programs called Comic Creations as well.
Okay.
In the library, and so another one of my kind of interests is graphic novels and comics. And one time we did a comic creations program where we weren't just drawing the comics, we were actually looking at online tools that would help you draw it, so mm-hmm. animation, and then kind of just getting the idea of the shapes of your characters and then having them move through your different panels and your storytelling. So I think that, you know, just like with the music and the, you know, using the sound equipment to create your music, I mm-hmm. think that also can translate to visual arts as well.
Right.
So.
Right.
And I was going to say, in high school, I had a creative writing class and a creative writing group that really kind of unlocked a lot of different things that I didn't really think you could do career-wise. I think a lot of times we focus on kind of what technically can you do, what, you know, can you do with, especially now, what can you do with computers and stuff like that, and that's all great. You mm-hmm. want to unlock creativity where you can, but even just like creative writing or doing something with the arts have been something that I think has really not only unlocked the minds of teens, but even here at Main Library, we have a makerspace here, and we kind of call it like shop class for the 21st century, sorry, and it's really a way for adults and teens, because the space is for teens as well, to kind of explore new and different things that they would not have really probably explored otherwise. So I'm really glad the library has a makerspace.
Cool.
And then lastly, I would just say we're really focusing on college and career connections. And so for us, figuring out ways that we can intersect the arts as part of your future. So, you know, I remember when I was growing up, that was never really encouraged. Like, if you want to be an artist, forget it. That wasn't realistic. But now I think we have a lot of different ways that we can encourage teens to be involved in the arts. And so whether that's coming to a program, like we do have a program called I Can Learn a Career, Literary Careers, and it's really to celebrate Teen Read Week, but by exploring literary careers from librarianship to publishing, journalism, blogging, and ways to kind of make a career out of that. But at any point in time, you can go to your local library, and our teen services staff are always happy to help teens kind of explore what their futures can look like. And so they'd be really willing to help teens figure out, if they're interested in a career in the arts, what that looks like and what resources we have, whether it's a book or a database, mm-hmm. To get them started on their future there. So as you can see, I could really talk all day about the arts and how we have opportunities for teens here at the library, but that's just kind of a snapshot of what we have.
Emily, can you give us an overview of programs related to art or literature, writing, and music for children?
A lot of programs in children's services do involve arts and creativity. We have several programs that we connect, especially with art. We have a program called Book Start Art, and it it's a wonderful opportunity for children to learn about illustrator artwork and picture books. So, for instance, if the artist used a watercolor technique or a collage technique, the children have an opportunity to study books by that illustrator in BookStart Art and then actually replicate the techniques that the illustrator used to create their own artwork. We also have something called Creating with Books. So the school-aged children may study a certain type of theme or an artwork piece, and then again create something educational-based, literacy extension that relates to the story in general. So it's a great opportunity to pull out paints and watercolors and charcoal. Other programs that we have that involve a lot of creativity are many of our book clubs. We have book clubs for preteens as well as school-age children. We have programs called Story Explorers, which fits a lot of different themes, but staff can be very creative in coming up with educational extension activities related to the theme of their choice, whether it happens to be STEAM and science that month, or whether it happens to be music and art. We have several programs. Reader's Theater is an opportunity for children to work with a staff member to bring a story to life, so retelling a story using a script. And puppetry is a lot of fun for the little ones, even from school age to preschoolers and whole families, focusing on art. And again, in all of these programs, we like to make sure it's related to literature that we have in the library. So a puppet show is going to be based on a book or a folk tale or a fairy tale that you can find at the library.
Okay. So have you done a lot of puppeteering yourself?
Yes. When I was a children's librarian, I did lots of puppetry. I was on a puppetry team that did training for other staff members. Now in my role, I would say that I support staff that do puppetry.
Right.
I think it's very important. It gets children excited about being in the library. It's a creative outlet for them, and you can always capture children's attention through puppetry.
Right. Okay, so with Creating with Books and BookStart Art, the children are actually getting to paint during those programs?
Absolutely, or they're getting to use collage or oils. But yes, it's a program where they have the opportunity to be very messy. And I think it's a great opportunity. For instance, if they're doing an Eric Carle program, they learn how to paint on tissue paper.
Okay.
And they really get to see what it's like to be an illustrator, and it's not quite as easy as it looks.
Right. But it's always tied directly back to the book.
Yes, absolutely. To enhance the book, to learn more about the author or the illustrator's technique.
Great.
So yes, we want to tie back to those resources if possible.
Okay, Holly, will you tell us, how do we find out where and when these art-related programs take place?
Right, so you can go to our website, which is cmlibrary.org, and we have a calendar there that you can click on. There's an icon. You can also go to the direct link, which is cmlibrary.org/calendar. And the calendar is really interactive, so you can do multiple searches. So if you're looking specifically for teen events or art events, you can search for that. Or maybe you're looking for a specific location, so you're able to limit your search results on that calendar. But you can also go to your local library. You can call your local library. A lot of libraries will have their programming calendars available at the branch, so you can see what's available. And yeah, I think it's really accessible, really easy to find out what's going on. So be sure to reach out and look for that.
Okay, great. Okay, so we've talked about programs. Now we're going to talk about resources available for teens and adults that you can find on the library's website or through the library's catalog.
One of the things I forgot to mention about Overdrive is they also have music that you can check out, so that's really great too. The resource that I want to highlight for music though is Freegal, which actually stands for Free Legal Music. So Freegal is a database that we have that you can access with your library card, where you basically get 5 MP3 downloads a week, and that means you own them.
Yeah.
So it's not you check out this CD or you check out this music from Overdrive, actually, and Hoopla. I forgot to mention Hoopla has streaming music as well. But with Freegal, you actually select your track and you download that piece of music, and you can have it as an MP3 file to upload into your own source, whether it's iTunes or Google Play, or you just have it as something that you connect to your computer. But you download the song and it is yours to own. So you get 5 per week. And if you sign up for Freegal, they'll actually send you email or text messages actually to tell you when your next set is available. So it doesn't have everything, but it does have some really great stuff from some top artists and just some things that are very nostalgic. I get a lot of Christmas music, holiday music every year from Freegal, and we sometimes will play it in the branch. So that's a really great one. And then if you want to get kind of very traditional with our resources, we have a database through ProQuest, which is our main provider for educational databases. There's an arts and humanities database on there. So if you were just looking for different pieces, research that you wanted to do in that area, you can go to that database as well. And sometimes me and Sam will definitely look up movie reviews or different things about actors or movie studios, anything like that. And so that database would probably be really good for that type of research.
All right. Great. Holly, is there any teen resources you'd like to mention?
So all of the resources that Angel had mentioned obviously also have materials for teens as well. So those are all going to be great resources for teens to use. They have materials for all ages, and so that would be definitely appropriate for teens. And I think in addition to the resources that Angel mentioned, I would also say the Testing and Education Reference Center is a great resource, especially for teens looking for information on careers, getting ready for test prep. Okay. And, you know, we talked about how you kind of can make arts into a career, and so that would be a great database for teens to look at as well.
Right.
Take those assessments. The assessments are really good too if you're trying to figure out where to go or just what your side hustle can be. I've been taught what a side hustle is recently, and I think that, you know, you may have a career that you go into, but, you know, one of the things that I'm seeing more and more in college, some of the students that I meet here at the library, they are all trying to figure out not just how to have a part-time job, but how to have a side hustle, how to be an entrepreneur, and right. I think that that is a great resource that kind of pulls out the best in you, and how can you create that into your own job of your own making, so right. You're your own boss.
Right. Cool. Emily, can you tell us about resources available for children that would help with schoolwork or other pursuits that are related to the arts?
Absolutely. So if you're looking for a book and maybe there's not a hard copy or paperback copy available in the library, print copy, you can go online to NC Kids Digital Library or Overdrive for Kids and download a book that way. You just go to our library page, cmlibrary.org, and resources to get logged on, and it's free, no cost, with a library card. Also, if you're a student in Charlotte-Mecklenburg, as you know, your school ID is your library card, so that's available as well to you. Tumble Books is another great resource. Those books are available in English as well as other languages like French or Spanish, and you can go on, you can search by title of the book and find a copy of the book there available. There's also other resources as well related to arts, or maybe that will help you with your homework. Storyplace.org is a website that has recently been revised, but it focuses on a theme or a story for preschoolers, and then there's a related book list as well with books available for the library. Also, tutor.com is a wonderful resource for elementary, middle school, and high school students that can help you with your homework. You can talk to a live tutor. And so if you have a question about a paper that you're working on or a science project, you can ask your questions to the tutors. And they're also available with other subjects as well, too. But that's a wonderful free resource.
Sure.
That goes along with arts and books.
Great. Thank you so much.
To access these resources, you can get to that from our website. So cmlibrary.org/resources. There's also a little icon that you can click on. And when you're in the resources page, again, there's some way for you to limit your searches to find what you're looking for. So if you wanted to search categories or tags, you can do that on the drop-down menu, and that will give you resources that maybe you're looking for resources that apply to teens or that apply to the arts, and you can do that through our search tags on the page as well.
Great. Makes it easy.
Don't forget to check out the library's online catalog. You can go to our web page and you'll see a search bar, and you can search catalog, and then you can search by your topic, whether it be dogs or if you're looking for books on presidents. You can do a search if you have a specific title you're looking for as well. And then you can place the book on hold and have it sent to the library of your choice. If there's an electronic version of the book available, you can put it on hold from there as well. And also, if you go to that search bar as well, you can do something by searching for bibliocommons lists on cmlibrary.org. And basically, that's a list of suggested books and resources available on a subject of your choice. So if you're a fifth grader and are looking for good books, you can search by CM Library Suggests and find a list of books, no matter what grade or reading level or subject. So everything CM Library Suggests is created by library staff in Charlotte Mecklenburg Library, and we have copies in our system. And they'll also link out to websites and other resources, but again, those book lists. And then you can also search bibliocommons. Other library systems as well have created lists. If you're looking for lists in Spanish or on almost any topic that you can imagine, you can use bibliocommons. And if it's created by another library system, we may not always own all the titles, but it's a great resource to start with. Again, I'd start with CM Library Suggests, but bibliocommons is a great place. Also on our catalog, our online catalog, you can see how many books you have checked out. You can renew online. You can pay any fines that you might have. So just a very powerful tool that you can do in the library or outside the library.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Emily. Okay, so does anybody else have anything they would like to add about programs or resources for the arts?
Thanks for having me. I appreciate this opportunity. And please come to the library and check in with staff at any of our locations or our outreach staff. We'd be glad to help you as best we can, and we look forward to meeting you. I'd love to have someone come in and say they heard about us online from this podcast, and just let us know how we can help. We're here for you.
All right. Thank you so much, Emily. All right, well, I want to thank our guest speakers for coming, Emily Nanny, Holly Summers, Sam Shapiro, and Angel Truesdale. And thank you all, audience, for joining us for Meet Me at the Library. We hope you've enjoyed this program. Look for upcoming episodes. To see or hear more from the Digital Branch, please visit digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. The Charlotte Mecklenburg Library website is www.cmlibrary.org. So when you go there, check out our calendar and our resources and our catalog. And you can find the library on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or Instagram, hashtag CMLibrary or at CMLibrary. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.